What's your show called?
Peter Cooper Tapes. Peter Cooper Tapes. So it's three words, so we could, like, one word each.
Right, who's going first?
Well, you should probably say Peter, because you're Peter.
Right.
And who says Cooper, because they're Cooper?
Who's a fucking tape? Yeah.
The
Peter Tapes.
There you go.
Sorted.
My friend Rob's getting married soon.
And it's gone from being this quite like chilled thing to being this very, very formal, you know, suited and booted, cars being hired and all this shit. And actually, I just can't be arsed with it.
So last night I went out for a meal with a few friends and recorded a tiny bit of tape here. The quality's not very good, so I'm not going to bombard you with too much of it. But, you know, there are a few little snippets I want to play.
What I was interested in is Rob's opinions and, like, ideas about old age. So what are you trying... What do you want to be like in your old age?
Not dead.
Not dead, yeah, yeah. I mean,
what's
your ideal life as, like, an 80-year-old dude?
Well, still physically able to actually wipe my own ass.
Is that really all it takes?
The bar is pretty low.
Yeah.
Being able to move.
Got a rare gun, a stick.
Being able to move, being able to run, being able to jump, you know, not be able to get up and sit down and, you know, still be able to squat something, not necessarily 200
like
kilograms.
To do at 18 you can't do now?
Get my end away.
When you're 80.
Holy fuck.
I'll go along with that.
So in later life, having muscle is really good, because there's, you know, you are more resilient and you're more protected against knocks and falls and other things. And likewise, weight training increases bone density as well, so having strong bones when you're old is great. However, this is a big however, mobility, flexibility, heart health, that is the thing really that's going to see you through, you know, when you're 80, 90. And there's no reason why when you're 80, 90 you can't be as fit as, say, a 60-year-old.
You can change the image.
It's like I was down the gym the other day, squatting 200 kilograms, thinking, yeah, I'm strong as anything, but
it's the brag.
I just look like a fat bloke.
You didn't squat 200 kilograms.
Yeah, I did.
Seriously.
I can believe it.
It's a lot.
I could squat on
my one rep max, but...
Yeah, but you did it once, you did it.
Yeah.
You're two pumps over
it. Didn't think I was going to shit myself, mind you.
Dear.
Imagine this. It's 3 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon at work. Everyone in the office has just grabbed their phone. If that music just got your adrenaline pumping and sent your heart rate through the sky, then you know that's HQ Trivia, a terrible game that everyone, but I guess not quite everyone, is playing right now. So yeah, what the hell is HQ Trivia, man? It's taken over our office life to a certain extent. So it's this game show that happens on your phone, basically. It's on iPhone, it's on Android. You get notified each day at certain times, and you click the button, you go into the app, and a presenter is there on the screen, live video stream from where they are. This is, you know, all completely live and fully acted out and everything. And they give you trivia questions.
New York City, and this is HQ, a trivia game show on your phone where you answer tough questions to win real money. It is a scorching summer Thursday, October 19th. I am your host, Scott Rogowski. There are over 6,000 people in today's game, including Santo, Trivial, Lilu, and Brian the Brain. Are you joining us for the first time? Is this your first time playing? Well, welcome to your new addiction. It's a lot healthier than heroin. Here's how the game works. I'm going to ask 12 questions ranging from easy to hard. You will have 10 seconds from when I start reading the question to tap your answer. You get it right, you move on to the next round. Make it to the end, you're going to win or split the cash. And today's grand prize is $250. That's right, $250. You can finally buy that Princess Di beanie baby you've always had your eye on. Okay. here's what you got to do right now. You got to relax. You got to focus up because it's going to start getting hot and heavy real soon, all right? Here it is. Question one. Where is the Lincoln Memorial?
Now, as you can see, the hosts can be a little bit hyperactive, let's say, a little bit OTT. I wouldn't know anything about that myself. But yeah, so there's these hosts. They get on with the business of, you know, doing the questions. And you eventually get to the end of the show, and anyone who's left in the game gets a cut of the money. So they started out at something like $250 per show, but now in America, I think they're up to like $2,500. And in the UK, it's something like $500 or something. So yeah, they still use dollars, even though it's in the UK. Don't ask. So anyway, they have some interesting hosts and things like that. But yeah, I'm pissed off at them. So when I signed up a couple of months ago, you went into the US games. Like, if you were a UK player or from anywhere in the world, you went into the US games because that's all they had. Great. So we got to enjoy that. Then they introduced a UK-specific game. So this would happen at more convenient times for UK players, essentially. And it was all still in dollars. And even though the host was British, what's her name? Sharon Carpenter, I think, or something. She works for BBC America, and so she lives in New York. So she's, like, at their studio. They haven't, like, set up a UK kind of, you know, spin-off company or anything like that. It's all in dollars and paid out by PayPal and everything. So it's almost the same as a US game. Just fewer people on it. So the US games now, like, often end up with over 1 million people in. Really fun. There's, like, a chat stream that's flying past, just absolute craziness going on. And, you know, they do some cool stuff. You know, they had they did a special during the Super Bowl halftime show. They did a special show and just kind of, I think they had, like, $20,000 up, you know, type of thing. And it was just really fun, like, just joining with everyone. People were tweeting about it. It's on Facebook, discussing it, everything. Even on Reddit, there's a whole subreddit dedicated to HQ Trivia now. They've had Jimmy Fallon on as a guest before, and other guests as well. And it's just kind of referenced in memes, and there's always kind of cultural references, and you can kind of discuss it with other people, and it's fun. Like, I'm not interested in the game to win the money, because even if you win, you know, all 12 questions, you win like $2 or $3. With the amount of people that win, it's ridiculous. Like, you don't tend to win a lot. You know, some people are 100s, but it's not very often. It's not very likely. But they've blocked UK players this week from the US games. So I'm like, what's the point? Like, I can play a game with, like, I don't know, 6,000 other UK people that, yeah, you know, it's fine. You know, Sharon's not too bad. But it just doesn't have, like, the cultural significance or impact of the US game. So it really pissed me off. So I've deleted the app. I'm not interested anymore. Like, let us back into US games. I'll be interested. I want to join in. Like, it's like if Reddit said, oh, only you know, UK people can only go to, like, a UK version of Reddit. Now, that would, oh, it sucks so bad. Like, if there was a UK version of Reddit. This is why we don't have a UK version of Reddit, because it would suck. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit kind of Americo-centric here, but it's like, if I can't play with the Americans, then what's the point? So, yeah. But anyway, if you're into trivia and if, you know, you do want to play it as a game and win a bit of cash or whatever, I do recommend it. It's fun. It's an interesting experience. However, there are people now with bots and stuff like that out there that are using kind of machine learning and kind of all sorts of weird, clever stuff out there who are cheating and everything. So this is why, you know, you're only going to win a small cut of the money, but it is what it is. So yeah, go and check that out, HQ Trivia. If you've not seen it before, it is an experience. It is interesting. And it's interesting to see where mobile gaming is kind of going in that aspect. I've really got a real big soft spot for live action kind of experiences online. Now, this makes it sound like I'm into, like, cam girls or something, but I'm actually talking about, you know, normal, everyday live experiences, Facebook Live and Periscope and things like that. Is Periscope still around? I have no idea. So, yeah, check it out. It's fun. HQ Trivia. Search for it on your app store.
I want you to get up now. I want you all to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, "It's time for HQ, baby!"
Okay, so I think I'm going to call time on this episode. I just wanted to explore some ideas, as you could probably tell. This wasn't like the first episode, this wasn't just me talking the whole time. This was me experimenting with trying a bit of background music here and there, doing some recording in different places. And yeah, that's what the whole point of this show's about, is experimentation. So had fun putting this together, but I can't spend any more time editing it. So we're going to call it an end. I do have some really good recording, though, of playing on Christian's what they call it, electric skateboard, electric bodyboard, whatever he wants to call it. And I need to edit that up properly, and that'll probably go into the next episode. So, yeah, come back next time. I don't know exactly what tack I'm going to take next time, but hey, it'll be fun. This is fun. I'm enjoying it. So that's all that matters. And yeah, I'm recording this outro in a toilet that is very reverby, which is why it sounds dreadful. So yeah, definitely an up and down episode this in terms of audio quality. But again, I'm learning about how to deal with that and manage that. So it's all stuff that's going to come in handy when I record sort of more professional podcasts in future. And if this is your first kind of episode of this that you're listening to, that's really what this show is about. It's about me practicing and learning kind of some of the more artful parts of podcasting, rather than just about the content or whatever. It's about how does it all come together, how does the audio work, how do the tools work, how should I edit, all that type of stuff. So you got to take the rough with the smooth, I'm afraid. This is all practice to kind of get that 10,000 hours of podcasting, really. So I shall love you and leave you. So until next time, this is me, Peter Cooper, signing off. Thank you.
The
Peter
Tapes.
There you go.
Sorted.